What do you need most at this very moment? A good education? A good job? A career? Money? Every individual sets out goals that are important to him or her. Some are short-term, and others long. Yet not one of these needs is as important as one blessing you possess at every moment. Breathing. It has been 39 seconds since this film began. If you had been unable to breathe for 39 seconds, you would have given up all you owned in order to be able to breathe again. In another minute or so, you would have lost consciousness. Brain death would follow in another 2 or 3 minutes, and your life would be at an end. You have now taken some 16 breaths since this film began. You will have taken another 200 or so by the time it ends. And you will see what a great blessing breathing is, and how each one of the systems which allow you to breathe is a great miracle. And you will witness examples of God's art of creation in your body. Breathing. This process, which seems so simple and which very few people ever think about, is actually the first link in a miracle. Every cell in our bodies needs the oxygen provided by breathing. The beating of your heart, the movements of your muscles, cell division, thought. None of these would be possible without oxygen. One breath is enough for oxygen to enter the body. A deep breath is, of course, even more effective. The oxygen in that breath will quickly reach the lungs, where it will board vehicles specially designed for it. These vehicles will spread the oxygen throughout the body, and it will represent the source of life for each of the 100 trillion or so cells in the body. Let us now have a close look at this flawless mechanism which goes into action at birth and never stops as long as we live. We must commence our examination of the respiratory system at the nose, the gateway to the system. We usually think of the nose's ability to detect smells. Yet it has another important function. The nose makes the air we breathe suitable for the lungs. It possesses a marvelous aerodynamic design. It works like a perfect air conditioning unit, and its interior is equipped with special filters. The curled structure of the nose allows the air to move around inside it. The air is thus warmed and moistened by the nasal mucus. The hairs inside the nose work like an air filter. Some 20 billion foreign bodies, such as dust, bacteria, and pollen, are trapped by these hairs in the nostrils. Those harmful particles which get past these obstacles are caught by a second defense mechanism, the secretion known as mucus. The upper respiratory tract and windpipe are covered in a viscous, slippery substance called mucus. This keeps the air passages moist. It also stops harmful substances from reaching the lungs. Mucus is assisted by the cilia. Each one of these is a mobile propellant and carries the mucus with the foreign bodies stuck in it to the pharynx. Here they are swallowed together with the foreign bodies as a result of the swallowing reflex, and are then destroyed by the stomach acid. Alternatively, these foreign bodies may be expelled by coughing. A violent cough can reach speeds of up to 960 kilometers, or 600 miles an hour. This is one of the pieces of evidence that serious precautions have been taken to protect the respiratory system. There is another point here that needs to be considered. The cilia in the nasal passage carry the mucus upward. The cilia in the upper respiratory tract, on the other hand, move in a downward direction. In both regions, foreign bodies are carried towards the pharynx. The billions of cilia in both different regions literally know where the pharynx lies. Close inspection reveals a most important miracle here. Cilia are minute structures with no ears, eyes, or brain. So how is it that these blind, deaf structures know the location of the pharynx? All the billions of cilia move together in the same direction. Who teaches the cilia that they all need to move as one in the same direction? Let us consider just one of these cilia. It is a living thing. Ever since it came into the world and throughout its life, it has just one function. It performs that one function without rest or protest. It carries the mucus layer to the pharynx. It is Almighty God who has created man in the finest form who gives them this duty. These miraculous structures perform the function God has given them and work day and night to protect your lungs from foreign bodies. Close examination of the structure of the cilia makes the scale of the miracle even clearer. Under the microscope, the cilia resemble simple tiny hairs, but they are actually a marvel of design and engineering. And they possess a complexity that those circles who defend the theory of evolution can never hope to explain. 9 different protein chains have been brought together in such a way as to form a cylinder. The 2 protein chains in the middle are the system's central motion generator. The proteins dynein and nexine, set out among the protein chains, represent the engines necessary for movement. Thanks to this complex system, which scientists have still to fully reveal, the cilia move at the high speed of 20 beats a second. The design in the cilia cannot be accounted for in terms of evolution, because the system only works if all its components are fully present. It is impossible for it to have developed in stages. In other words, for it to have evolved. There is another point which should not be forgotten. Cilia serve no purpose on their own. They need to work together with the mucus layer in order to protect human life and prevent the entry of foreign bodies. Mucus also turns out to be a marvel of design when examined up close. The mucus layer is rather thin. On the screen you can see a 30 centimeter ruler. Now let us have a look at a 1 millimeter length of that ruler. Now let us divide that 1 millimeter part into 600. 1/600th of a millimeter is so small a number that one cannot imagine it. That is the thickness of the mucus layer which protects your health. 1/600th of a millimeter. Moreover, this thin layer consists of 2 separate sublayers. The bottom one is rather slippery. This enables the cilia to carry the mucus in a particular direction. The top layer, in other words the safety layer, is rather viscous, which allows it to trap harmful bodies. These 2 layers never get mixed up or change places. In order to better understand the perfection of the design in the system, let us imagine for a moment that the layers did change place. If the viscous layer were at the bottom, then the cilia would be unable to move and would stick where they were. If the slippery layer were on top, then dust and bacteria could easily reach the lungs without being caught by the mucus. In either event, the system would serve no purpose, and human beings would catch diseases which eventually resulted in their deaths. This system has been functioning flawlessly since the first human beings came into existence. Darwinists claim that this system came into being by chance, stage by stage. Yet that is impossible. As we have just seen, the slightest irregularity or deficiency in the system would cause it to serve no purpose. This is an important piece of evidence invalidating Darwinism. The cilia, which serve you day and night, the mucal secretion with its own very special design, and the aerodynamic design inside the nose all go to prove one very important truth. God created you. The artistry and design evident in every part of your body are proofs of the might of God. In one verse, he states, "We created you, so why do you not confirm the truth?" The longest leg on the journey to the lungs is that in the windpipe. The structure of the windpipe is yet another example of the perfect design of the human body. The walls of the windpipe are supported by C-shaped rings of cartilage. This allows movement in different directions. If the windpipe were made of flesh alone, the resulting softness would lead to constant blockages. That would make it impossible for us to breathe. If it were made of something as hard as bone, then our movements would be to a large extent restricted. Yet the cartilaginous structure which makes up the windpipe is perfectly suited to all kinds of movement, and it always remains open due to its flexibility. There is another very special design right in the entrance to the windpipe. This design saves our lives every time we have something to eat. How is that? The esophagus and the windpipe lie side by side in the throat. One might therefore expect that when eating, as I am doing now, the food might get stuck in my windpipe and choke me. Yet nothing of the sort happens. Although I continue to eat and breathe, the food never gets caught in my windpipe. So, what is it that protects me, and you, of course, when eating? There is a small flap of elastic cartilage called the epiglottis right at the entrance of the windpipe. This flap automatically closes the entrance to the windpipe during swallowing. During all the thousands of meals you have eaten, from babyhood right up to the present, you have swallowed tens of thousands of times. And every single time this little flap has closed the entrance to your windpipe at exactly the right moment. Although you are unaware of its presence and can exert no control over it, this little flap has saved your life by closing the entrance to your windpipe at just the right moment. As always, the theory of evolution is quite helpless in the face of this system. It is impossible for such an important system, the absence of which would be fatal to human life, to have come about by chance, stage by stage. In the absence of that system, a human being would choke the first moment he took a bite to eat. This is yet another proof that God created all the features possessed by human beings. Body tissues produce carbon dioxide as a result of their daily functions. This carbon dioxide is carried away from the tissues by the blood. This blood, loaded with carbon dioxide, is dirty blood. In order for the blood to be cleaned, it needs to make contact with the air. The oxygen in the air and the carbon dioxide in the blood will thus be exchanged. There are around 5 liters of blood in the human body. In order to be air, this 5 liters of blood needs to spread over an area of around 100 square meters. That is equivalent to the area of a tennis court. Everyone watching this film has an area the size of a tennis court squeezed into his lungs by the incomparable art of God's creation. The lungs. The lungs consist of bronchia divided into hundreds of different tubes. At the end of each one of these bronchia fills the alveoli, or air sacs, the size of a pinhead. There are some 300 million of these air sacs in a healthy lung. Their total surface area is equivalent to that of a tennis court. The air passing through the bronchia fills the alveoli. The alveoli are covered with a dense network of capillaries, the smallest of the blood vessels. The alveoli and capillaries are separated from each other with a thin membrane. This membrane permits an exchange of gases between the blood and the air. The carbon dioxide in the dirty blood and the oxygen in the air are exchanged here. And the dirty blood is cleaned in the alveoli. The system which allows your blood to be cleaned with every breath you take is built on an air sac no larger than a pinhead. The fact that you have 300 million of these in your chest and that they all perform their functions at all time is another proof of the incomparable art of God's creation. Now let us have a closer look at these pinhead-sized alveoli and witness once again the perfection of God's creation. The alveoli inflate with every breath and return to their original form as the breath is released again. The interior surface of the alveoli is coated with a thin layer of water, and the water molecules create surface tension. Surface tension depends mainly upon the cohesive forces between water molecules. The surface tension formed by the water coating the alveoli would normally cause the alveoli to collapse at the end of exhalation. For that reason, we would normally have to expend enormous energy and suffer considerable discomfort in order to re-expand the alveoli which collapsed with every breath. Yet we manage to breathe perfectly comfortably. So what is the secret behind this? Scientists researching the answer to this question encountered a most important miracle here. A supportive organism has been placed inside each and every one of the 300 million alveoli to serve the human body. These are known as type 2 cells. Type 2 cells produce a very special substance called surfactant and spread this over the internal surfaces of the alveoli. Surfactant is a molecule especially designed to reduce the surface tension of water. Thanks to this molecule, the alveoli are prevented from collapsing inwards. At this point, we need to consider carefully. Type 2 cells possess no eyes, ears, brain, or capacity for thought, and are invisible to the naked eye. So how is it that this substance knows that the alveoli will collapse because of surface tension? You can now see the chemical formula for surfactant on the screen. This formula has been specially designed to do away with water surface tension. Who taught the type 2 cell, devoid as it is of eye, ears, or brain, the chemical formula for surfactant? Why does it devote its life to the production of this substance? This cell exists only in the alveoli, just where the surfactant is needed, and nowhere else in the body. Who was it who located it not in the ear or the heart, for instance, but solely where it needed to be, inside the alveoli? The number of such questions rises as one continues to study the alveoli, since the type 2 cells are not the only faithful workers in the alveoli. Other supporting cells have been located inside the alveoli. The macrophages, for instance. Any foreign body that manages to get by the security precautions in the upper respiratory tract and to reach the lungs represents a serious danger. Macrophages engulf these foreign bodies which enter the alveoli and thus protect our health. So who was it who charged the macrophages with standing watch over your alveoli all through their lives and thus protecting your health? There is only one answer to this and other such questions. It is God who creates the macrophages, the type 2 cells, the alveoli they are found in, the perfect design in those alveoli, the bronchi and the lungs. God's art of creation is flawless and incomparable. In one verse, God reveals, "Does not man see that we created him from a drop, yet there he is, an open antagonist? He makes likenesses of us and forgets his own creation, saying, 'Who will give life to bones when they are decayed?' Say, 'He who made them in the first place will bring them back to life. He has total knowledge of each created thing.'" We have now seen how the carbon dioxide in the blood is expelled and how the blood is oxygenated in the alveoli in the lungs. Yet there is a considerable distance between the alveoli and the other tissues of the body. Furthermore, transporting oxygen is a process requiring the greatest sensitivity. This resembles carrying this crystal glass you see in my hand and trillions of others like it to the other end of the world without breaking them. How is the oxygen to be carried that distance? The answer appears in another miracle of creation. The oxygen which enters the alveoli with the air is met by cells responsible for transporting it at the moment it mixes with the blood. These are the red blood cells. There is a very special protein inside the red blood cells, hemoglobin. Every single red blood cell contains some 250 million hemoglobin molecules. This protein, called hemoglobin, is a marvel of creation, specially designed to take up oxygen. It contains 4 iron atoms. These atoms attract oxygen like a magnet, and thus oxygen sets out on its long journey in the blood. When it reaches the tissues in need of oxygen, hemoglobin's power to bind to iron is reduced thanks to a number of specially designed subsystems. The oxygen is thus released from the hemoglobin in the red blood cells and delivered to the cells which need it. The carbon dioxide produced by the cells is again transported to the lungs by the hemoglobin and complex systems. The carbon dioxide carried to the lungs is discharged from the body here. This exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide continues every second all through life. Let us now have a rather closer look at the system. The hemoglobin molecule is a protein made up of 564 amino acids. In the central region are 4 iron atoms responsible for the transportation of oxygen. Hemoglobin's three-dimensional structure and amino acid sequence have been specially designed for the transportation of oxygen. An alteration to any one of these amino acids or to the three-dimensional structure of hemoglobin would mean that it is unable to carry oxygen and fulfill its duty. Yet, as well as hemoglobin, the subsystems that work with it also possess a flawless design. For instance, hemoglobin and oxygen establish a powerful bond when they come together in the lung. Yet this bond weakens at the tissues which stand in need of oxygen, and the oxygen is released from the hemoglobin. The system has been planned down to the finest detail. If the bond between oxygen and hemoglobin in the lung were not sufficiently powerful, then the oxygen would not combine with the hemoglobin, in which case it could not be carried to the tissues which need it. Those tissues would start to die. As a result, the slightest alteration to the present system in the hemoglobin would spell death. In fact, cyanide, one of the strongest known poisons, kills by attaching itself to the hemoglobin molecule and preventing it from performing this very function. All these facts once again reveal the baseless nature of the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution maintains that living things acquired their features gradually, stage by stage. Yet, like the other millions of systems in the body, the oxygen transportation system can only function if it is in its present perfect state. Even the slightest alteration in hemoglobin, which forms only one part of the whole oxygen transportation system, means the system as a whole is unable to function. For this reason, it is impossible for hemoglobin and the oxygen transportation system to have come about by evolution. Even a hemoglobin molecule on its own is evidence of the invalidity of the theory of evolution and proof of the perfection of God's creation. In the Quran, God says, "And in your creation and all the creatures he has spread about, there are signs for people with certainty." People do many different things in their daily lives. But whatever they do, they still have to keep breathing. Yet they never need to make a conscious effort in order to breathe. Neither do they use their free will in order to breathe. They breathe right from the moment of their birth, even in their sleep. The brain is the command center for the whole process of respiration. A group of nerves in the brainstem and the medulla region of the brain direct the respiratory system. The nerves in the medulla send commands to the muscles surrounding the rib cage to contract for 2 seconds. As the muscles contract, the lungs fill with air. Then, the nerve signals from the medulla are cut for 3 seconds. The muscles then relax. The air in the lungs is then expelled as the muscles assume their earlier form. Directed by the medulla, breathing takes around 5 seconds. 2 seconds for inhaling, and 3 for exhaling. Under normal conditions, a healthy person breathes some 12 times a minute. Yet that figure goes up under certain circumstances. As you can see, my breathing rate has risen considerably. Yet it is not me who has decided to breathe quickly at this moment. My chest muscles are forcing me to. And I feel discomfort if I try to breathe slowly. Since I have just worked out, my tissue had a greater need for oxygen, and my brain obliged me to breathe faster. In the same way that my breathing under normal conditions is out of my control, so is the way that I am currently breathing quickly. Control of breathing is thus independent of an individual's will. When the muscles work more than under normal conditions, they consume more oxygen. As the level of oxygen in the blood falls, the level of carbon dioxide rises. Muscle cells under pressure give off lactic acid. The oxygen, carbon dioxide, and lactic acid receptors in various parts of the body become aware of this change and send warnings to the respiratory center in the brain. When the warning reaches the medulla, the respiratory neurons send commands to the chest muscles and ensure that they work faster. On the other hand, other precautions are also taken in the body. The heart starts beating faster, for instance. The skin pores are opened in order to balance the rise in body temperature and attempts to cool the body down. When pressure on the muscles is lifted, all the systems gradually return to their normal condition. The flawless, interconnected systems work and serve beyond the individual's control, will and knowledge. Man's duty is thus to give thanks to God, who created him with such perfection, and to appreciate the artistry in his creation. In one verse of the Quran, God reveals, He is God, the Creator, the Maker, the Giver of Form. To Him belong the most beautiful names. Everything in the heavens and earth glorifies Him. He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. In this film, we have examined the miracle in the respiratory system. The air conditioning system in the nose. The protective mechanism in the respiratory tract. The cilia, which serve for a whole lifetime. The mucus, which works alongside the cilia. The design in the windpipe. The flap, which prevents you choking when you eat. The area the size of a tennis court inside your chest. The alveoli no bigger than a pinhead. The special cells within those alveoli. The red blood cells responsible for oxygen transportation. The miraculous protein hemoglobin. The attraction between oxygen and iron, and the sensitive way that attraction is balanced. The carbon dioxide transportation systems. The special nervous system which controls breathing outside the individual's volition. And we have looked at other systems which assist human beings to breathe. We have seen that these systems have been created in a flawless and perfect form. A person's taking just one single breath is a great miracle requiring gratitude to God. You have taken around 200 breaths since this film began. You will also continue to breathe long after it is over. Until God claims your soul back in the same way that He gave it to you. When that day comes, when you take your last breath, you will have to account for everything you did and every blessing given to you throughout your life. People must think about this truth and give thanks to our Creator, God, who allows us to breathe and imparts countless blessings to us while there is still time and before the last breath comes. As God commands in the Quran, "Mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, so that hopefully you may do your duty."